Well, during this homily, I'd like to speak about something very practical, and that is how to bring back fallen away Catholics. Raise your hand if you know anybody that's a fallen away Catholic. That's 100% of you, okay? So they're out there. Now, this could be your son, it could be your daughter, it could be your husband, your wife, your grandson, your granddaughter, perhaps a niece or a nephew, a co-worker or a neighbor. We all know fallen away Catholics, those that were born and raised in the Catholic faith, but for one reason or another, are no longer practicing the faith. And of course, this is a very serious thing, because we as Catholics and as Christians believe in some very important realities, the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. And we certainly don't want anybody that we love to be separated from God for all eternity. Vatican II said that those people who either refuse to enter the Catholic Church once they realize it is the one true church, or those who fail to remain in the church after having realized it was the one true church, they are putting their salvation in jeopardy. And that's why it's so important that we do whatever we can to reach out to our brothers and sisters of other faiths, to invite them to become part of the church that Jesus Christ established, the one true church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and to invite back those that have fallen away from the faith. Now, I have some good news for you, and that is that it's not us who bring fallen away Catholics back to church. It is God. Now, isn't that a big relief? It should be a great relief to you that it's God who brings people back to church, and it's God who brings conversions into the church. In a few words, it's all God's grace. Everything is entirely God's grace. Now, another important thing to realize, that not only is it God's work to bring people back to church and into the church, but God wants their salvation far more than we do. God wants the salvation of your son or daughter far more than you do. As much as you want your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter converted, God wants that an infinitely greater amount, infinitely more than you do. And we know that is the case because, first of all, God created them, and God creates everybody to be happy for all eternity. Now, He also gives us free will and will not force our will. If we choose to turn away from God, God respects our freedom. But it's a truth of the Catholic faith that He gives everybody enough grace to be saved. So God will give everybody the opportunity for salvation. Whether or not they will accept that has to do with their cooperation with God's grace. So what is our role? If the salvation of souls is really up to God and God's grace, where do we come in? What can we do? Well, basically, you and I can either be instruments of God's grace, or we can become obstacles of God's grace. Okay? Just like in the Bible, there's two types of people, either examples or warnings. Okay? You're either an example of how to live or a warning how not to live. So as Jim Rohn says, when our life story is written, make sure we were one of those examples and not one of those warnings. Okay, so we're called to either be, or basically we're called to be instruments of God's grace in the life of other people and not obstacles. So what does God use to bring people back to the sacraments or into the church? Basically, you could sum it up in two ways, two ideas. God uses holy people, and God uses holy things. That's how He brings people back to church or into the church. But basically, I'd like to give you four ways in which God uses holy people or holy things to bring people back to the sacraments and to bring back fallen away Catholics, especially family members or friends. These four things are, number one is holiness. Number two is prudence. Number three are good tools. And number four are priests. So these are basically four ideas I'd like to share with you on how to bring back fallen away Catholics. The first one is holiness. Now this means that to become an instrument of God's grace in the life of your family or in the life of anybody else, you have to be holy. God will work through humble and holy instruments. It says that He worked through the Blessed Mother, who was so holy. And He worked through Saint Joseph and John the Baptist and the saints. Of course, it was God's grace that made them holy, but He works through holy people. The definition of a saint, somebody once asked a little girl what a definition of a saint was. And she thought about the stained glass windows. And she said, a saint is somebody through whom the light shines through. Isn't that neat? That's what saints are. Saints are those that whom the light of Christ shines through. So to be an instrument to bring people back to the sacraments and back to church, you have to be a holy person, a credible witness to the faith by how you live your daily life. Now our Lord talked about this in Scripture. He said that He wants His followers to be as innocent as doves, and what's the second part? As clever as serpents. Now, the clever as serpents is prudence. But first, let's look at the innocent as doves, holiness. Now, the way we bring back people is through the way we live our life, the example of our life, through the prayers that we say for the person, through our love and our charity for the person, and through the sacrifice, the penance, and the mortification that we do for that person. Now, if you want to be an instrument of God's grace, let's say in the life of a son or daughter or grandchild that has left the practice of the faith, you have to be willing to become a Saint Monica. Okay? Now, that means that's going to require a lot of prayer, a lot of tears, and a lot of sacrifice for the salvation of that soul. You know, Saint Augustine of Hippo, as we know, was born and raised, well, basically born with a Christian mother and a pagan father, and he left the practice of the faith when he was a teenager and lived a life of immorality. And then 30 years went by, and he was converted by God's grace when he was about age 30, through a lot of it attributed to the prayers of his saintly mother, Saint Monica. Sometimes I call her Mrs. Hippo. Okay, Saint Monica of Hippo. So she was God's instrument. Well, in other words, her prayers and her sacrifices were very instrumental in being a holy witness to Augustine. It helped to bring about his conversion. Again, remember, it was God's grace that converted Augustine, but the prayers of Monica played a very important role. Our Lord talks about in Scripture of a judge who was unwilling to listen to a widow, but she kept praying and kept persisting and persisting and persisting. And Jesus says in the parable that the judge answered her request because of perseverance. And then Jesus says, how much more will God answer your prayers if you persevere in prayers? Unlike that evil judge who answered the prayer just because of being nagged, how much more so will God listen to our prayers when we pray constantly and for years for the conversion of another person? You have to realize that some of your kids will be lifetime projects, okay? And you have to look at it from almost a long time perspective. See, if your son or daughter comes back to the practice of the faith on their deathbed, then it was a success, okay? You know, you might lose a lot of little battles, but if you win the war in the end, then it's all been worthwhile. So for 30 years, Monica prayed for Augustine. During the whole lifetime, especially after he became a teenager and left the faith and lived the life of immorality, she prayed and prayed and prayed. And one thing she didn't do for him was be anxious and worry about him. She prayed for him. Do you see the big difference? See, worry and anxiety is not beneficial for anyone, for you or for your kids. You have to place them in God's hands, and you have to pray for them. And pray that God's grace will touch their heart. And perhaps, because of your prayers, God will give the special grace to that particular person. You should also entrust them to the care of our Blessed Mother. She's called the Refuge of Sinners. She's the comforter of the afflicted. She can help those that have fallen away. Our Lady is like the moon and Christ is like the sun. Even when somebody is hiding from the sun, oftentimes the rays of the moon will still light their way. And people, through Our Lady's intercession, are brought back to the sacraments. So, be holy yourself through God's grace. Grow in your holiness, in being a credible witness to your faith. Live your faith with great love and great joy. And that example of your own personal life, of living the faith and honesty and integrity, will be one of the keys that God will use to unlock the hardened hearts of loved ones or family members or friends that you're trying to bring back to the sacraments. Now, I mentioned the first part was to be innocent as doves, but then Jesus says you also have to be as clever as serpents, okay? This is where prudence comes in. So not only do we need holiness, really, to bring people back to this church, but prudence. This means to make right decisions and to be wise in how to deal with those that have fallen away. It means that we should know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Well, what to say has to be right knowledge. So we as Catholics should read and study our faith, read the Bible, study the Bible, read the Catechism, so that we know the authentic teachings of Holy Mother Church, and so that we know enough apologetics and being able to answer, to be able to answer the questions that people have about the faith. In other words, to know what to say to people when they ask us questions about the faith. Then we have to know when to say it. There's an expression, timing is everything. You heard that? That's very true. There's a saying that one rose given on the day of the anniversary is worth a dozen roses given a week later. Isn't that the case? You know, if your husband remembers your anniversary and gives you a rose on that day, timing is everything. But getting a birthday card on your birthday means a lot more than getting it a week or two later. Having an anniversary card come on the actual day is a blessing. So we have to know when to say things, the proper timing. And then we have to know how to say things to help bring people back to the sacraments. Namely, kindness and charity, to be filled with love for that person and to know how to say it in such a way that it will help to bring them back. One idea is that we should pray that God will set up the moment of grace in the life of a person. Oftentimes, it will come when the person is going through great tragedies in their life. Notice the prodigal son only came back to God when he hit rock bottom. See, many people only find Christ when they're in prison. You know, many people only find Christ after a car accident or after a near-death experience. Sometimes that's what it takes to convert people, I'm afraid to say. But pray that God's grace will set up an opportunity, a moment, for example, when you'll have the opportunity to share your faith with that person. Let's say you have to talk to your husband about something, or your spouse about something, or your son or daughter about something. Pray that God will set the moment, will set the right stage for that moment of grace. Also, prudence means that you have to be a credible witness, namely, not to be eccentric or not to be abnormal in the living of your faith. I've met people in other parts of the country, they'll come up and they'll be wearing maybe 30 or 40 religious medals, okay? Well, what that can do is that can, not only if they get near a lake and if they fall in, they'll go straight to the bottom. That's detrimental as well. You don't want to drown yourself. Or when you go through an airport, you don't want to set off all the alarms in the whole airport. But basically, for your grandson or granddaughter or child to see somebody that they would consider a religious fanatic, that will lose credibility. And so you have to be basically a normal person, and not to be what I call a weird or a wacky person in the faith. And we have many of those running around. So be normal, and through being prudent, living a holy life, and praying for prudence, you'll know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. And if they see you as a credible witness of living your faith, as somebody that's normal, and that can help a great deal. Now, number three is the tools. What are the tools that you will need to be a good apostle? Basically, besides holiness and prudence, the tools that we could use to set up channels through which God's grace could flow would be sacramentals. For example, the miraculous medal can be an instrument of God's grace to a person. It could be a channel of grace. You know the story of Alphonse Ratisbonne, an anti-Catholic Jew who was given a miraculous medal by a friend. His friend said, please wear the medal, and his friend prayed for him every day. Well, Alphonse Ratisbonne, who was so anti-Catholic, happened to go into a Catholic church just to see the architecture, and he was drawn to a beautiful statue, a beautiful altar of the Blessed Mother. As he went over there, he immediately fell to his knees and was given the gift of faith. He was instantly converted, and he was infused with the knowledge of the Catholic faith. And he attributes that to the wearing of the miraculous medal. He then became a Catholic, and then became a Catholic priest, and he went to Jerusalem and established a religious order to help work for the conversion of Jews to the Catholic faith, all through the grace given through the miraculous medal. So the medal given by that dear friend who had such great faith helped to bring about a conversion. Also, the rosary is a very good tool to use. There was a man named Bartolo Longo who was a Satan worshiper. He was born and raised Catholic. He became a Satanist, a high priest in the Church of Satan. But a friend of his prayed the rosary for him every day and eventually gave him a rosary and taught him how to say it. And through the rosary, Bartolo Longo was brought out of Satanism and brought back to the practice of the Catholic faith. He later on was, after his conversion, became a great Marian apostle and built a beautiful shrine to Our Lady in Pompeii, Italy. And Pope John Paul II beatified him in 1982. Here was a former Satanist converted through the rosary. Also, the green scapular is very beneficial and very helpful as an instrument to bring back fallen away Catholics and to bring about returns to the sacraments. Other good tools would be books. Reading good books and giving somebody a good book if they ask for it, or if you think it would be a proper opportunity to pass on a good book to somebody. There are many people that were converted through the reading of one book. For example, St. Augustine, besides the prayers of his mother, also was influenced by the reading of the life of St. Anthony of the Desert. St. Ignatius of Loyola, when he was struck by a cannonball in the leg and was recovering, was given that he wanted to read a romance novel, but there weren't any Harlequin romances in the castle. So they found a book on the saints, and he read that, and that converted him. St. Edith Stein was an atheist, a Jewish atheist, from the time she was 13 until she was 21. She went to visit a friend of hers and saw a copy of the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila sitting on the table. She asked if she could borrow it. She read the whole book in one night, and she was given the gift of faith. The next day she went out and bought a catechism, read the whole catechism. Then she attended her first Mass and said, Father, I want you to baptize me. He said, who instructed you? She said, nobody, but ask me any question. And she knew her faith because she had read about it. One book converted Edith Stein. Then it was St. John Colombini. Interesting story. He was a fallen away Catholic, and his wife was cooking dinner, and something was delayed, so there was nothing she could do, so she said, why don't you just read a book until dinner's ready? Well, he got upset, and he threw the book on the floor. And then he sort of regretted that, and he went over, picked it up, and began reading a book, and this converted him, made him a fervent Catholic, brought him back to the sacraments, and he became a great saint. Now, I don't recommend keeping dinner waiting for your husband deliberately, but realize that good books can convert people. Good books like the Scriptures, the Life of the Saints, the many other books that are out there can be good instruments, good tools that you can use. Also, cassette tapes are very valuable, especially conversion testimonies of former Protestant ministers that have become Catholic. People like Scott Hahn and many others that have converted to the faith have given powerful witnesses on tape. And these can be good supplementary things for people to read. A friend of mine was a fallen away Catholic, and he was an insurance, a real estate agent. And I used to give him a lot of tapes on sales and management and business. And then I snuck in a Scott Hahn conversion tape. And you know, he had nothing else to do in his car, so he put it in there. And after he heard that tape, he realized he should come back to the practice of the Catholic faith. So tapes can be very instrumental. Even music tapes. Some of you bought some of my dad's albums today, the CDs or the tapes of my dad's music. There was a fella in New Zealand who, after listening to one of my dad's songs, came back to the practice of the faith after being away for, I think, 30 years from the sacraments, just by listening to one of the songs on St. Joseph. That's how beautiful. See, God can work through things, through the spoken word, through homilies, through books, through takes, through music. God can use these things to bring people back to the sacraments. Also, good literature, like a little booklet on confession that somebody reads could convert somebody. In college, one of the girls in college saw a little holy card, "When You Miss One Holy Communion," sitting on her friend's desk. And she read that, and she said, "Wow, the power of one holy communion." She started going to Mass again after seeing that one holy card. Also realized that good friends could bring somebody back to the faith. Try to get your sons or your daughters, your grandkids, to meet other good people that could be influential in bringing them back to the faith. Maybe they could join a young adults group or a married couples group or another parish organization that could help to give them a good friend that could be a good influence and example to bring them back to the faith. And lastly, the fourth thing besides holiness and prudence and tools that can bring people into the church are holy priests. Now remember, with St. Augustine, not only was it the prayers of Monica and the reading of the life of St. Anthony of the Desert, but there was another factor, and that was St. Ambrose, a holy bishop, a holy priest, who was giving a homily. And St. Augustine heard this and was attracted and thought, wow, this man is very holy, and he wanted to learn more about the faith because of St. Ambrose. So make sure that when you pray for priests, pray for good holy priests, because they will be God's instrument to convert hardened hearts. Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary, "I will give to priests the grace to touch the most hardened hearts." So pray for priests that they will be good shepherds of the flock, that they will reach out to bring back fallen away Catholics. St. John Vianney converted 800,000 hardened sinners during his lifetime because of his holiness, and yet he was not a great preacher. In fact, he had such a shrilly voice that it used to hurt people's ears when he preached. But because he was a saint, he converted hearts. Mother Teresa could get up there at Harvard and just say a couple words and get a standing ovation. Many people were converted just because of Mother Teresa's holiness. When Pope Pius X was Pope back in the early part of the century, there were Protestants that were converted to the Catholic faith just by seeing and hearing one talk by Pope Pius X. A friend of mine was converted to the preaching of Pope John Paul II. He was a fallen away Catholic. He went to the mall when the Pope went there in 78 or I forget what year it was, 1980, when the Pope went to D.C. And this guy was a fallen away Catholic, sort of anti-Catholic. He wasn't sure if the Pope was the Antichrist or the Vicar of Christ. He didn't know. But when he went and he heard the Pope John Paul II preaching, he was converted, and he had the desire to go back to confession. He looked around and he saw a priest. So he went up and asked the priest to hear his confession. He went to confession right there on the spot after having heard the preaching of Pope John Paul II. Louis de Montfort, St. Dominic, they're examples of how priests were used by God to bring about great conversions. So I would recommend that not only should you pray for good holy priests throughout our diocese and throughout the world, because priests will be really God's instrument of bringing people back to the sacraments, but try to introduce fallen away Catholics to a priest, to a good holy priest, namely your kids, your grandkids. Try to take them to Mass. See, if you could bring a person to Mass and a good holy priest, through the preaching of one homily, could be God's instrument to convert the person on the spot. Let's say if you can't bring them to Mass, then bring the priest to the person. For example, have a house blessing. Invite the priest over and have them meet your kids or your sons, your daughters, your grandkids. Have them meet the fallen away Catholic neighbor. You can invite the priest over to do the Sacred Heart enthronement in your home. And you can invite him over for dinner. I'm sure the priest is usually willing to come around dinner time. So there's all sorts of opportunities that you could try to bring a priest into the life of a particular person that is a fallen away Catholic. So these are the four recommendations. Realize it'll be your own personal life of prayer, your life of virtue and holiness that will help to convert somebody. It'll be the prudence, the tact, the wisdom that you use, the good timing you use, and it'll be the tools that you share with people, the sacramentals, miraculous medal, a rosary, a scapular. It might be a good book, a good tape. It might be a holy card or literature. And then try as best you can to use the God's gift to the world, which is priests. As weak and sinful as they are God's instruments of His grace, because they can be channels of forgiveness through confession and through giving people the Eucharist. So pray for the return of fallen away Catholics and do what you can to be an instrument of God's grace in their lives. God bless you.